Sarah Rose Nordgren is in the studio with me tonight. Cincinnati is a city rich in poets, and I'm happy to say that Sarah Rose is one. Her poetry has been published in the Iowa Review, the Harvard Review, and the Best New Poets Anthology. She's the winner of the 2012 James Wright Poetry Award, a two-time fellowship recipient of the Fine Arts Work Center in Provincetown, Massachusetts, recipient of an Individual Excellence Award from the Ohio Arts Council, and winner of the 2013 Agnes Lynch Starrett Poetry Prize for her collection Best Bones, which we're going to talk about tonight. Sarah Rose, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Let's begin with the title poem, which is called The Best Bones. So if you would read that for us.
The Best Bones. Scotland was an even colder place back in 1964, if you can believe it. Factories closed their doors one by one, so the men holed up in the pubs. We lived in a falling down house where the radio played faraway bomb speculations. After the stairs rotted through and became too dangerous, my family stayed below, leaving in my control the upper floors. That's how it was in those days, easy to ignore the structures sagging over your head. My parents kept the garden tidy as a kind of make-believe. Sister, who always had the sharpest memory, set out a dish of milk for me at night. I grew white. Years went by and birds across the window. I heard that oil was found off the coast. The country was moving again, though I could not, and so remained quiet in my dusty sheets like furniture in a grand residence waiting for its season. Finally, after what seemed like a long time, I forgot my loneliness.
One of the things I love about poetry is that it often invites us to bring our imagination into the situation. There's often an enigmatic quality about poetry. So one of the things I was curious about with this poem is, who is the narrator?
That's a great question. And it's kind of a great question for a lot of the poems, I think, in the book, because the book as a whole has a lot of dramatic monologue or persona poetry, and the speaker is very different frequently from poem to poem. I think sometimes it's easier to decide that the speaker is closer to the author than in other poems where you think that probably it's not. In this particular poem, I think, as in a lot of the poems, I think the speaker is probably some version of myself, but it's a dramatized version of myself. So obviously, maybe not obviously to the listeners, I was not alive in 1964, and nor have I ever lived in Scotland. So I was doing some research, I can't remember why, about Scotland in the 60s, and I was really interested in it. And they had really high unemployment at that time, and there was also a nationalism movement at that time to separate from the UK. And then there actually was oil discovered off the coast in the North Sea. And that was an exciting thing because they thought that it would bring revenue to the country. But then, in fact, it went to London. So anyway, those are some of the specific details that ended up showing up in the poem. But I think the poem in general is about loneliness. And it's about this idea of being in a family, in a not just the family itself, but also the country as a whole, as this idea of disintegration or stagnation. The speaker in the poem is sort of on pause in a way that the speaker might be surrounded by other people in a house, in a family, in a country, but is at the same time completely isolated from all of those things. And so there's a sense of being a spectator in one's own world.
Well done, I must say. I think it must be thrilling, at the very least, to hold your own book of poetry in your hands. And not only does that require that you, the poet, have written a certain number of poems, but that you have collected them. So you've said a little bit about this, but what was your guiding principle or theme or shape in terms of this collection?
That's a great question, especially since I think it's a difficult question first books frequently, because frequently with a first book, the poems have been written over a long period of time, and people sort of joke that a lot of first books are greatest hits books because they're basically like, these are the best poems that I've written up to now. Whereas later books might have more of a cohesive thematic idea. And so this book, in that way, I think I discovered what it was in retrospect, having written the poems over a long period of time, and then looking at them as a group and saying, okay, what's in here? Like, what have been my obsessions over the past 10 years, and how are they coming through? And how can I shape that into something that feels like a body, even though the poems have been written over a long period of time, for most of which I was not thinking about a book until sort of maybe later. So this book for sure deals with family a lot. And the original title for the manuscript was The Only House in the Neighborhood, which is another of the poems in the book. But certainly it deals with family a lot. It deals with identity. I think the sort of shaping of the self that happens from childhood to adulthood, and how that happens in interaction with other people, other family members, other roles that we take on. There are master and servant relationships in the book, mother and child relationships. So there's sort of power dynamics, but it has to do with kind of the roles that we take on and how that allows us to become a person, and also how that limits us from becoming people.
Well, and there are several poems that do, where the poet is relating who she is to the other person. So it's that self-reflection, reflection off of others. And one of those poems is titled Your Server. So if you would read Your Server.
This poem is called Your Server for This Evening. I slice a wedge of lime, slitting the center so it holds to the glass. I wipe the frost from the lip of the plate with a cloth, then touch it to my face tenderly. What you ordered was specific, but you are patient while I travel to the freezer, searching out your favorite meal. You are able to discern between blue ice and blue-gray ice with your eyes closed. I know your habits better than you know my name, and your palate is the Bible from which I learn my verses. How you cover your lap with the napkin, and which bones you taste first from the sugar skeleton. Show me that you are a gentle, lonely person. No wonder you pay so handsomely for my company. You think I need another reason to adore you.
We have time for another poem, and this poem also has to do with identity. And also, I think, really does a beautiful job of phrasing that eternal question about the road not taken, as Frost put it. So if you would read Temporary River.
Temporary River. When the streets flooded that summer and our homes became distant shores across the neighborhood, I had no boat, just one cracked paddle from the shed, spider-webbed. I loved you then, before we wore shirts, carried wallets and umbrellas, before we knew to worry about the river moving through town, thick with filth. The backyard was deep and tomatoes sank to the bottom. Like loose teeth, the carrots were pulled from the garden. Our parents warned us of the rusted cans and snakes, but up to my knees on the patio, I saw us mirrored in the surface. Your thin arms and wet hair, my dark eyes and bony shoulders. Years after, our bodies divided like a cloud the wind forced in two directions, or the morning after a small town in Texas slides from its foundations. I've never known why I'm living this life and not another.
Lovely to hear your poetry. Thank you so much for visiting with us tonight, Sarah
Thank
Rose.
You so much, Barbara. It was wonderful to be here.
Good to be with you. I've been talking with Sarah Rose Nordgren about her collection of poems, which is titled Best Bones. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.